Morning. It's good to be back. Worship was good. Prayer time good. Yay. Yeah. Anybody get a good word this morning? Somebody? Nobody? We'll have to work on that. Goodness. No resounding amens. No hallelujahs. All right. We're going to turn this morning to Luke. I don't do a ton of warm-up because that's just not my thing. So I don't like to preach on what I have to preach on, so I come into this a little bit with a little foreboding. But yearly, or every once in a while, I have to do something that remotely looks like education that revolves around stewardship. And it's been a little bit since I've done it, and I decided to take a different tack this year. It's easy to, you know, jump right into Malachi and, you know, do the whole test me and try me to see if I will. And we can talk about the levels of giving. I've done that for years. We can talk about, you know, when you give unto the Lord, you know, he gives back to you what you've given, more than you've given, after you've given. You know, everybody's nodding. There's a bunch of people heard this. And it's easy to kind of do the prescription, I guess I would say, would be the typical stewardship thing. And I decided, as I was praying about this and working it over in my head, I was going to come at it from a different angle. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses, yeah, it's all right there. Yeah, we might need to make that bigger. That's what I got? Okay, can you read that from the back? Come on, Misty works at an ophthalmologist. If you can't, we'll get you an appointment. Can somebody read that quick? Oh, there it is. Somebody read this. I'm going to preach it in a minute, but I'm not going to read it and then preach it because that'll get really redundant. Somebody with a good voice and likes to read out loud, just kind of belt this thing out. It's only 13 verses. There you go. Next.
Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the more, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man, who will give you what is your own?"
Everybody get that? I'll give it to you in a nutshell. You got a guy that's up in verse 2. He's wasting his master's stuff. So the guy says, "Hey, come in here and tell me how you're taking care of the stuff I've given you." And the guy goes, "Oh no, what's going to happen? I'm not going to have a job anymore. So the guy that's going to fire me, I better make friends with them that he owes money. Because I don't want to work. I don't know how to dig. I don't want to beg. So he has him come in and he goes, hey, cut your bill in half, write on it. And the guy's going, hey, I get a deal. I ain't got to pay the bill back. Up there somewhere around verse 5 or so, verse 6. All the way down to 7, you get this whole thing back and forth. In verse 7, you get the master who goes, wow, you know, you people who are not church, sons of light, sons of darkness, you people who are of darkness, is that the word he uses? No, right here. You're right here. So the master commended the unjust steward because he dealt shrewdly, for the sons of the world are more shrewd than the sons of light. He's going, you made friends with those that owed me so that when you got kicked out, you'd have a place to go. You're smarter than the Christians. That's exactly what he's saying. Because the Christians are doing the same thing, but they don't realize what's coming. Do you get this? This is the problem we have in the church. I'm just going to get in it. Both feet. Just going to jump in. We get saved because we want to have an eternal life somewhere. We believe that God is, and we want to be sure that we're going there. The problem is, the stuff he's given us, we don't manage it for him. We manage it for us. And because we manage this stuff for us, there's a problem. We get half saved. We want eternal life. We don't want God to run our business. We want surety that we ain't going to hell, but we don't want to give God control. So then we have this battle back and forth in our life for years. We fight over tithing. We fight over the use of our time. We fight over the talents and abilities that I have in the world. I begrudgingly give those back to God over time. Not up front. Not because I know that I need to, but because I'm not ready to surrender it. Because we don't understand, you are a steward. What is a steward? A steward is someone who has been entrusted some things, and it is your job to manage those things the way God wants you to manage them, not the way you want to manage them. And this is where the battle always comes in with stewardship and with tithing and time and talents. Because people come into the church, make a big profession of faith, they go back and forth to the altar, do all this stuff, but you can't get them to tithe. You can't get them to show up for a work day. Can't get them to volunteer to work on a committee or to do an action or to use their skills and abilities to benefit the house because they're too busy. Ain't got time. It's not a priority. Oh, I'm in it now. I'm in it. You want to know why God doesn't bless you with that stuff? Or if you are having blessings, you want to know why you don't have more? Because you ain't using it right. It's right there. If you can't use the stuff you've gotten well, how will he give you what is your own? Bake the cake. Now I got somebody excited over here. The secret is in the what is your own, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. Because right now we have to settle the stewardship thing first. Many of us, because we got through whatever salvation process we went through, we didn't finish the deal. We wanted to have eternal life. We wanted to be made new in Christ. We wanted to be out from underneath the baggage, the bondage, the hurts, the wounds. We want him to take all of that. But then we're going to sit back with the things that we are and that we have, and we're going to kind of judiciously kind of whatever we're going to do with it. So when someone asks you to give of your time, your talents, your money, you're going to go, well, you know, it's really not in my plan right now. It's not really a high priority in my life. So what hasn't really been settled is your understanding of your stewardship. You haven't agreed to the terms. So what happens is you start your Christian walk, you're going through your everyday, and things are okay, they're sometimes good, but they aren't great. Because you're struggling with family, you're struggling with work, you're struggling. There's a problem because the way you're using the things God has given you is not necessarily in God's benefit. Because you still want what you want in your relationships, in your money, in your work, in your job. And so you're always going to have this push-pull going on. It's never going to be settled until you get to the point where you can give God whatever it is that you refuse to give God. I say that to people all the time because we run into this, especially when you're working people through deliverance and inner healing, people who are struggling because, you know, this was a big one in our house. You know, I raised my kids with an idea because my temperate personality is such that it's just, you know, they're mine for a season and then I got to cut the tie and let them go. My wife's idea was they're mine. You can't believe the war we went through when the first one went to 18. Because I'm excited about seeing what the work we put into this little guy's going to do, and she's having a meltdown because the nuclear family's about ready to explode. Stewarding is about understanding the things that God has placed into your care and how to use them, not for your own benefit. Stewardship is about using the things that God has given you for His benefit and not for ours. And this is the struggle because here's the truth of it, church. I can say this categorically. I've been at this a long time. All this white hair is here for a reason. I watch people as they get older and older and older. And you know, the battle for stewarding is less difficult when they got more white hair. It's less difficult. Yep. Because the older they get, they realize all the things that they've had wasn't theirs to begin with. And the battle becomes less pitched. But most of the time, it's after they've lost the ability. Or they've lost the finances. Or the family has dissipated. And then they want to give God what they mismanaged. Why do we have to wait till that point? Why is it we struggle with the time, the talents, and the resources? At the beginning, we should be getting it right. The stewardship is the issue. This is the core to why many people in the Christian faith never thrive. They never become. Because they're still fighting a battle that God already died for. He's called you a son and a daughter and a steward, and you're fighting Him every step for things that are none of your business. If He gave you the ability to earn, it is still His. If He put in you the smarts and the capacity to build a business and to organize and to gather and to do, all of that is still His. So why do we argue about it? Why do we fight Him on it? I can't tell you, church. I've said this to you 100 times. 80% of the people, you know, 20% of the people, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Because there's 80% of the people who can't figure out how to give up their time and their talents. Most churches average less than 20 to 30% of the people sitting in the church actually physically tithe. Our church is about 50, maybe 60. So there's still a good chunk that haven't figured it out yet. So I don't say this because I want to. I say it because statistics support it. And here's the secret, church. If you can't figure out how to give of the tithe, you're never going to figure about the talents and the money, or the tithe and the time and the talents. You know how I know that? Because the tithe is the one thing that you know, and I've said this a million times, I swear. It's the one thing you know exactly what you make. So your tithe is math. Period. So you can be perfect in your tithe. It's much harder to tithe your talent. It's much harder to tithe your time. If you can't figure out the tithe, you're never going to figure out the other two. God has given us each the same amount of time. And yet we struggle to get to anything that isn't whatever it is that I'm quote unquote interested in. I say this to people all the time. People laugh at me, but I get right up in people's grill. You know, we go out to lunch on Sunday and you know, people won't go. I'm gonna make no friends here. People won't go because it isn't a restaurant they want to go to. And I go, why? If you're giving your time and you're investing in his people and you're learning about their situations, because eventually you're going to do some ministry with these people and maybe they're going to do something with you, it doesn't matter what you're eating. But we will let our preference dictate our time. Man, I got right in it this morning. They're going to send me back to Florida. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we called to be God's people or not? And if we are, we're supposed to be working together to accomplish purposes. It is going to take your time, your talents, and your ability and your money to make stuff go. But if you're struggling to give one, two, or all three, we're right back there to mismanaging. There's another verse in 1 Corinthians 4. It ties into spiritual gifting, which I haven't even got to yet. But let's go there, just because I like a good fight. Let's just pick one. Let so man consider us servants of Christ and stewards of the... What are the mysteries, church? We talk about it around here all the time. What are the mysteries? Come on, church. I've preached this and preached this. The mysteries are the working of the Holy Spirit. The mysteries are how someone can be saved and their sin can be forgiven. The mysteries are how Holy Spirit can come into your life and take the burden and the hurt and the wounds and the traumas away and make you new. The mysteries are how this stuff happens in the unseen. We've been called to steward the mysteries. If we can't steward the time, the talents, and the monies, how in the world are we going to steward the mysteries? You want to know why the church of this generation is so void of power, so void of understanding of the Holy Spirit? They're fighting the wrong fight. They're still fighting about time, talents, and money when you should be plugging into the mysteries. As a steward of the mysteries, let's go verse 2 because we're already here. Moreover, it is required. It is not optional. It isn't something that you might figure out at some point down the way 30 years from now. It is required. Do you know what the word required means? Mandatory. It is mandatory that a steward, who's a steward? Well, I hope we are. A steward is one that is... Don't wash over that word found. The word found means one who is doing. One who is not doing. Not is, everyone is not slacking. This, when I read this, the first thing I thought was, this is about the 10 virgins with oil lamps, and the five that were prepped and ready and primed and good to go, and the five that were just sloughing. You know, they knew their calling, they knew what they were supposed to do, they knew they were supposed to be ready, and when the time came, they were not ready. They were not found ready. It is required that a steward be found faithful. Gotta let that sink, church. You gotta let that sink. If we're going to find the riches and the deepness of the things that are of God's, we've got to stop fighting Him on the silly stuff. I call it silly. Some of you call these mountains you want to die on. You know, people will fight me tooth and nail on finances. Fine, fight me tooth and nail. You're fighting the wrong guy, and you're fighting the wrong fight. I'm not going to change my opinion, and neither is Scripture. You are called to be a steward of your finances. The Bible says, give unto the Lord of your first fruit. Not of what's left after you pay your bills. Not of what's left whenever you decide you're ready to pay some tithe. First fruit. It isn't an option. It's not subjective. If you can't figure this part out, how are you going to figure the rest of it? And I'm not trying to be horribly difficult, but it's a tall order when it says you have to be found faithful. That means at any point in time, the Lord should be able to look at your accounts and your books and go, yep, they're doing it right. Yep, they're getting their time right. Yep, they're getting their talents right. Yep, they're getting their finances right. At any given moment, God can look at your ledger and go, you know what? This person is serious. This person's a good steward. This person is managing the things I have given them with integrity and character. If you can manage the little things, He calls them little things, then He promises to give you not His things, but your own things. And I don't even have time to dig into that today. He has promised that if you manage His little things well, can you imagine God calling your time, your talents, and your money little things? I have had people leave the church over this. I've had people who will argue with me tooth and nail over this. You can't even see the forest for the trees. The mysteries will always be ununderstood by people who argue over little things. Do you hear me? The mysteries that God wants to bring to pass, His ability to not just speak into your life, but empower you with gifts and knowledge and wisdom and healings and miracles. The mysteries, the things that He wants to release in you. If you can't manage the things that He's already given you, how are you going to manage the supernatural? If you're prone to abuse the use of the little things, how can He give you something more? Something unearthly, something supernatural. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a direct correlation between time, talents, and money that is a gateway to a releasing and a trustworthiness into the things that you cannot see. And that God will put within you so that you can do what He's called you to do, which is to be a force on this earth against not just what Satan wants to do, but what the world has done to people when you can speak life over them, when you can speak wisdom and healing and miracles and deliverance, when you have authority in the spiritual realm and you can bind and cast spirits. These are all part of the mysteries that are understood by the most people in the church because we're too busy fighting over time, talents, and money. And Satan laughs like a big dog. Because as long as he can keep your head down arguing about the things that don't matter and appealing to our egos and appealing to our sensibilities and appealing to our control issues and appealing to all the garbage of why we cannot figure out the time, talents, and money, we miss the big thing that God is trying to do. Because we're so busy, distracted by the stuff that should have been settled at salvation. Lordship, sovereignty, stewardship. Everything that we have, everything we own, everything that God has allowed us to accomplish and to acquire, most of us don't look at that as its communal property. This is mine. I've achieved it. I've acquired it. I've gotten it. And then when God starts coming alongside of you going, you know, your time, you know, maybe you should think about, you know, maybe. And we go, no. Start pushing back. He is measuring our stewardship every time he bumps you about coming into alignment with time, talents, and money. Yeah, I said it. He is measuring your stewardship every time he bumps you about time, talents, and money. Would you pass the test? Are you passing the test? Shall we stand? God, I know this is hard. I know the church, our church, although our finances are better than most, Lord, there is still a war that's being waged by some because of the idea of time and talents. Lord, I pray this verse would settle in beyond our comfort zones, beyond our understanding. And we begin to submit ourselves to this idea of true stewarding, being convicted so that, Lord, when we look at our life today and we look at our life over the last several weeks, months, and years, that, Lord, we would make a decision today to bring everything we have to the table. Everything you've given us, it is yours. Everything that we've acquired, if you tell us, we would give it over. We would use it appropriately. We would understand the time and the place and the purpose. Lord, help us to shape in our mind and our heart a right concept of being a steward. God, in the scripture, there's over 100 references in the New Testament alone to stewardship. And it isn't just talking about money, it's talking about everything. In the second verse of Luke 16, it said that the steward was wasting his possessions. He didn't say nothing about money. He was using everything of the master's inappropriately. And that might even, Lord, even include the physical body that we stand in. If we are struggling with addictions, struggling with behaviors that are self-destructive, the vessel we've received from you is even yours. How are we using it? God, help define in us an understanding of true stewarding. And Lord, I know it's going to take time for some, but I don't mean months. I don't even mean weeks. Lord, help us to get our head around, to meditate, to pray, to read what the scripture says about stewarding. And then to make the mental commitment and the spiritual dedication to fulfill that definition in our life. so that we will be found faithful and we will be considered, so that you can give us not only the things that you have given us, but you can give us what is our own.